Galatians chapter 1. So this morning, I was wrapping up, looking over my lesson, and I thought, oh, my kids didn't come today, wife stayed home, so I thought, oh, I get to get here early, so I race down here, and I look in the car, and I thought, I forgot my notes. It would be a problem. But cell phones, fortunately, when you forward things to yourself, it's there on your cell phone, so the lesson will be over either when I'm done with my notes, the phone dies, because iPhone batteries are horrible, so we'll see how that goes. So in Galatians chapter 2, there is a phrase in Galatians chapter 1, that has, to me, personally been fascinating for some time. And I just want to use that phrase as the basis for our lesson today. And it's the phrase you find in verse 4, Galatians 1 verse 4. Let's back up to verse 3. Read verses 3 and 4. So Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let me follow this phrase that we'll focus on this morning, the present evil world. I just pray that as we discuss this, that we'd be able to rejoice in how it is, in fact, that we're delivered from this present evil world. And it certainly focuses on the person that you have made the center of all things, in whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen. So that phrase, present evil world, has always kind of fascinated me. It's similar to a phrase I like to go over to in Colossians. This is my thing I always say to Katie or anyone who's kind of having a rough patch, and kind of, you know, I do the same thing, complaining about things, and I'll say, well, patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's my phrase I'll use. Oh, you got to have patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. That's it. So, end of the story. And that doesn't always get me out of hot water, but the idea there is that there's that idea that patience and long-suffering with joyfulness is how God shows His power, the same power He used to raise Christ from the dead. That it shows up in patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness in us as we go through our sufferings and trials and tribulations. And I'll do the same thing with this present evil world. And we'll be talking about, well, present evil world, that's my catch-all phrase to cover why things are the way they are. But when I look at that verse a little more carefully, it's not just that this is present evil world, and I can sit back and watch and kind of just get a kick at how it falls apart. That's not really the thrust of the verse. The idea is that, if you look back at verse 4, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Deliverance. And that's what I titled my message, Deliverance from this present evil world. There, I looked at it in three different aspects, past, present, and future. You can look at it in many different ways, but that's how I chose to look at it this morning. So, when you think about deliverance in a past sense, and think about the overarching idea of the book of Galatians. When you think about the book of Galatians, it's interesting that this phrase is found there, deliverance from this present evil world. What is the overall theme of the book of Galatians? Think back to that. Why was he writing the Galatians?
Legalism.
They had gotten saved. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Etc. So they understood salvation by grace. Grace, the idea of faith alone, in the blood of Christ alone. They understood that. Then they decided to go back and try to live under the law, even after having Paul been one of their, he taught them personally, wrote them a letter, and they went back to legalism. So that's not how your life is going to work under grace. And we'll find that as we talk about past deliverance and present deliverance and on into the future, as we talk about it this morning. So, the world wants a lot of things, doesn't it? When you read the paper and go on Google and Yahoo, and you see things that the world wants out there. They want peace. They want unity, both collectively and individually. Doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with that. What's the problem with that? Well, Paul says it is indeed a present evil world. And so that encompasses all of these different desires that the world has. That's what's wrong with it. See, the answer to that is what saith the Scripture. I so appreciated Ken. That's one of his his catchphrases he used. I thought, it's just great to get that stuck in your mind. Do you know what the reference is on that? What saith the Scripture? A couple different times, but one that I found is Romans 4, verse 3. What saith the Scripture? And that can be applied to any context. As you're going through life, and think about what you see in the news, in the paper, whatever, what people will say to you, saved and unsaved alike. What saith the Scripture? That's the key idea there. So if it is a present evil world, and it is, there's no question about that. That's what Paul says there in Galatians 1, verse 4. In this present evil world, should I panic about that? Should I get upset? Flustered? Absolutely not. It's a present evil world. That's just the way it is. If I can learn how to view that from what the Scripture says and what my role in that is, then I can have some peace in my life. Patience, long-suffering, joyfulness in the midst of any of the problems you might have. So it's not a big deal. It's just the way it is. So take it for what it is. Understand God's view of that, how we fit into that as a member of the body of Christ. And then you'll start to understand when he says Christ gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world, how that actually works in your life. So the world views things so differently than we do. Purpose of life, what's the purpose of life? Sometimes people say it's to make a lot of money. To be happy. You can fill in that blank, there's a lot of things you can fill in there. And don't we look at things very differently? This is not just a temporary thing and you're done. You know, the world just casts you off and you die. Whatever happens, happens. That's not how we look at things. We look at things from an eternal perspective, the one given the Apostle Paul. We'll be talking about that as time goes on this morning, too. And that changes the way you view your circumstances. That changes what it means to be delivered from this present evil world. But think about the past, how we're delivered from the past that we have created for ourselves. Think about the problem you had with your sin before you got saved. Look at Romans chapter 3. There's a lot of issues there. A lot of things stacked against you. This is when it really became clearer to me, when I realized that if I were to die before I gotten saved, I would for sure have gone to hell for sure. No doubt about it. Matthew, we won't turn it, but Matthew 25:41, he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's a problem. Huge problem. And that's where I was before I got saved, before I understood faith alone, the blood of Christ alone. And Romans 3 gives a long list of things that were check marks against me. Look at chapter 3, verse 9. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." That was me. Verse 10, verse 11, Romans 3, verse 11. "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." I realized I was in that camp. Verse 12, "They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one." That applied to me. When I hear people say, "I'm a good person," I don't always just contradict them in their face, but I think, no, you're not. You're really not. And you have to kind of keep that in mind as you're talking to people. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Look at verse 18. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." People don't even believe in God anymore for the most part. So fear of God, what's that? Verse 19, "We know that what things serve the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." That was me. I was guilty before God. I had a problem. And so the idea of God delivering me from this present evil world, from my past, my personal mistakes, I chose to do the things I did. I was guilty before God. I needed a Savior. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins personally. And each person I meet, same situation. So this personal issue of being guilty before God, when I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ for my salvation alone, then God was able to do some things for me. We'll talk about those as we go on this morning. And that personal guilt that I had was bad enough, but there was also a dispensational problem in the past that God took care of. If you look at, go to Romans chapter, Ephesians 3, and let's go to Ephesians 3, and let's see, we'll start with Ephesians 3. There were some things that when I first got saved and did not understand dispensational teaching, when we say dispensational, we mean the idea there's different time periods and God deals with people differently, different times, different dealings with people. And we're in a dispensation of the grace of God, is what it's called today. It's the but now time period. But now God is doing something different than He used to, and that He will do in the future. It sort of blends together with the kingdom program, and there's this, the kingdom of His dear Son is described as. Or translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We'll end up in heavenly places. There's the earthly program. All those things are blended perfectly going throughout into eternity. But there was a dispensational problem that God in His wisdom took care of in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's back up to chapter 2.
What about 3?
Then we're going to do chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So if I stop there, I realize that me personally, I was in trouble because of things I had done. But if I had been even further back here, I'd be in even more trouble because there was this dispensation divide. I was with no hope and without God in the world. That sounds pretty bad. Bad situation.
Right.
No hope. And so this dispensational divide created another problem. And when I started to see that, thanks to our teaching in this ministry here, I started to realize, you know, I've been delivered from something far greater than just my personal guilt. On the wrong side of the middle wall of partition, as a result of God's grace, He breaks down that wall. That takes care of some things that were a problem in the past. No longer a problem. I've been delivered from this present evil world in that sense. The personal guilt and the situation that I as a Gentile would have been in had He not introduced this dispensation of the grace of God. So a lot of things in the past taken care of by the grace of God. Been delivered from the penalty for my sin. The situation I was in, on the wrong side of the middle wall of partition, that's gone. He took care of all these things in the past. And when you think about how you can be delivered in the present, you realize it's not just the past that He takes care of. A lot of times religion, I think, focuses on the past. Not the past in the way we talk about it, time past. But when I do something wrong, what religion, usually Christian religions, usually tell you you have to do? Well, think about 1 John 1:9. I talked to him shortly after we started coming to this church for the second time. It was a two-part history there. Started coming back and we started talking to some friends who were at the church we'd been attending previous to this one. We said, yeah, you know how you guys talk in church. We say, confess your sins, 1 John 1:9. And the person said, what are you talking about? I thought, man, even in their own religion, people don't get what they're believing, what the references are. It's like you start to see a bigger picture and you realize, okay, those verses don't apply to me. Let's talk about why it doesn't apply to you too. And then you have no idea what you're talking about. Wow, we got to back up here. 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's kind of what you do. So you're focused on your past. Like, I'm doing something wrong. I just got, please forgive me. Oh, thank you, God, forgive me. And you can move on. You do it again. It's like rinse, repeat. And you're always focusing on your past, aren't you? That's what religion teaches you to do. Focus on the past. Your past failures. But the grace of God says, you know what? Grace of God will forgive you for those sins. You don't have to focus on your sin anymore. Should I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So get your mind off the past. Forget those things. Focus on where you are in Christ right now and start looking this way.
Amen.
Don't keep looking backwards. I heard a guy describe it one time. It was a secular guy. He says, if you're focused on your past, it's like driving the car and looking in the rearview mirror all the time.
Yeah.
It's behind you. It's there. Focus out there. You're going to crash. And that's what happens, doesn't it? Yeah.
I like how both verses today and now, and then in ages to come, the whole, it's the same concept, except the propitiation has happened. So it's once and for all. The Romans 3, you have to come into it and know you even have a problem.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
You even need God anyway.
That's right.
Well, the First John 1:9 is similar. You're kind of in that same thing. I need God, and I have these problems all the time, and I need to do this constantly.
Yeah.
It's just the old program. But I like the consistency, even though the dispensations are different, and the truth behind it.
Yeah, amen. There's a... That truth of figuring out where you are in God's program and under the dispensation of the grace of God, getting that past dealt with and then being able to live now and looking forward, it's just really a liberating thing, isn't it? Is that freedom you have to recognize, okay, I made mistakes, but you know what? Those are paid for by the blood of Christ. I have a whole new future now. Starts now and continues. And that's the same really in a sense for their program as well. There's a whole future out there based on what the new covenant will be to them. And for us, it's being members of the body of Christ. So there is that glorious future going ahead. It gets you to stop worrying about that, looking forward. Past is taken care of. And the things you do now can bring glory to God based on the blood of Christ. So we don't want to focus on our past other than to learn a lesson from the chorus and realize, you know what, that's not going to work under grace. The idea of under grace is that you don't really have the power to break that kind of cycle anyways, do you? If I constantly focus on what I did wrong and ask God to forgive, when in reality Christ has already forgiven me for those sins, my past sins, the ones I happen to do today, the ones I'll do in the future, then the sin is not what you're focusing on. If you're living in sin, then just stop. Very simple. You have the power to stop. If you are dead to sin, then you just need to believe that, reckon it to be true. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That's in that same section there. It says, we are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not reign in your body because of that. So this is a real interesting connection there. You think about Romans chapter 8, verse 2, one of my favorite verses lately. Romans 8, verse 2. Start at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And verse 3 goes on to say the law is weak because there's sin in your flesh. It's never going to work to bring glory to God. You can't get your resources, we've been talking about, from your flesh. It's not going to work. You've got to understand who you are in Christ. And going forward, what value there is in understanding who you are in grace now and how it brings glory to God even into the future. We have a contract with God that lasts forever. It's called grace. Never going to take it away.
Amen.
Cannot be separated from the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not a temporary thing, and then you mess up. Oh, you're out. Throw you to the side. You're done. I mean, that's a lot of times what religion does as well. It's you get used up in the religious system, they just toss you aside. Next man up.
Yeah.
What about me? I mean, it's like John's been saying, the lover of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who died for me, and I'm in Him, and that's never going to change. Reminds me of a thing I heard on the radio. It's kind of cute. This guy was talking about a basketball coach, and the big basketball season just ended. And they're talking about this coach, a new coach coming in. They said, what kind of plan you got, coach? I got a 4-year plan. 4-year? Why 4 years? He says, well, my contract was for 5 years. I'd have a 5-year plan, but it's only 4 years. So I got a 4-year plan. Okay, makes sense. Our contract going forward does not end.
Amen.
You understand that? Eternity future, not going to change the contract. You are in the body of Christ. And that helps me understand how I'm delivered from this present evil world. But my contract has already begun. The moment I put my faith in the blood of Christ, I'm part of something huge, special, eternal. And it was something God had in mind before the foundation of the world, sprung on the world, you see the Apostle Paul, and it's never going to end. And I'm part of that. I'm seated in the heavenly place with Christ. I'm complete in Christ. All my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. My problems now work for me, not against me. And so many other verses we'll take a look at. And that's going to bring glory to Him. My problems are going to bring glory to God. In the old days, if you had a problem, it's because you weren't following the plan. Talk to the kids this morning about Saul. He was impatient, just like we are sometimes. He lied, just like we do sometimes. He tried to bring a sacrifice. It wasn't even his job. He got in a lot of trouble. He said, "King is taken from you. Give him somebody else. Man after my own heart." And he died, and it just was a mess. But nowadays, when we talk about patience, he was impatient. Like, okay, I kind of have that. Me too. We all do. But now he says, patience and long-suffering and joyfulness based on the grace of God, looking out there when it says, our light affliction. And I know you all probably had some this past week, just like I did, right? I mean, this is my first week off from teaching. This week was way worse than it's at work. Oh, the disaster. And yet I thought, you know what? Patience, long suffering with joyfulness. Put a smile on your face. Why would I smile in the midst of my problems? I'm stalled out there on the freeway, about ready to get run over. Battery dies. I didn't put the battery cable on. And the car dies. I'm sitting there with a man to drive, my oldest. I'm like, pull the car over quick. Pulled over. Car's whizzing. And I'm lifting the hood. Till he got smashed. And what? Patience, long suffering with joyfulness. Let's fix the problem. Could have called AAA right now. Fix it myself. But drive a little farther. Car dies again. Battery cable pops off. I'm not a mechanic. You can tell that just by the story I'm telling right there. But just get through the day. Get through one day. Got another one coming up. Going to be more problems. But if I know that my problems, based on how I react, that show that Christ lives in me and not me, then that's going to bring glory to God's plan, isn't it?
Amen.
It's not me. If it was me, it would not be patience. It would not be long-suffering. Wouldn't be any joy there. Get upset and explode. Well, you know what? There's a bigger plan. I'm part of that plan. We are members one of another. And as we let this idea of how He delivers us from this present evil world, that's part of it, isn't it? Our attitude. The plan nowadays is not back like it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, back up to much earlier in the Bible when deliverance was by destroying the enemy. Go in and destroy him. Get rid of him. One of Saul's problems we talked about this morning was he was supposed to go in and destroy this group of people and destroy all their animals and things like that. He didn't destroy the animals. All the animals are great. I'm going to bring them in and use them for a sacrifice. Well, you weren't supposed to do that. You're supposed to kill them all. So nowadays, though, oh, I've got to get my phone back on. Nowadays, the plan doesn't involve deliverance from your problems. Deliverance comes from understanding that in your inner man, your inner man is renewed how often?
Day by day.
You're going to have some problems today, no doubt about that. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to have some more. There might be ones that you have that are just ongoing. But isn't that kind of what happens to people saved and unsaved alike? There's problems out there. How they react? Different than the way we react. We understand that we are part of a bigger plan. One that goes on into the future. We understand, like it says in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 8. You ever wonder at times, and you're discouraged, and you just it's not going the way you want it to go, and you're not really understanding that God's grace is sufficient for you now. You get stressed out. Feel like it's just, man, it's just overwhelming. The pressure is too much. But then you back up and think about 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. And again, we say, what saith the Scripture? And just let it sink in. Just let it calm your mind. Keep you from getting too stressed out. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Is there profit in understanding how grace works in the life of a believer? Of course there is. Are you going to get rich because of it? Probably not. Are you going to have great health because of it? No. It's not guaranteed, is it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Christ went around healing every sickness they had. Are you guaranteed that today? Of course not. Is that a problem? Well, if you were expecting it to happen the way it happened then yeah. That's a problem. That you're not thinking about things the way God thinks about them. The way He tells us in a dispensational teaching, you'll recognize that way it happened back then. It's not what He's doing now. It fits what He's doing now. What He was doing then fit perfectly. Healing. And as we talked about last time I was with you, even when Paul was on the scene, when he first was ministering to people, he would send out a handkerchief, heal people. That's pretty amazing. But even in his career, as we saw his career develop, Christ told him, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. And so he says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities. Ooh. That's not something you're going to hear on an infomercial about getting better. And of course, it doesn't hurt to try to get better. If you have a problem, do what you can, take care of it. But it might not go away. If it doesn't, it's okay. Don't let your emotions take over and run you into this idea of forgetting about what God's grace is trying to do in and through you. That Christ may be formed in you. That Christ would dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. My strength is made perfect where? How? In weakness. Who's the weak part? That's me. You. Where does the strength come from? Christ's Word dwelling in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, this is this present deliverance in the present evil world, the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Is that what it says? No. Faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that goes back to Galatians 1:4. Who gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Christ is me. That's an amazing deliverance. When I realized that, and I stopped thinking, what am I doing? My time. Christ lives in me. What can we do next? Can I get excited about that? And instead of just trying to put my mind in a hole, and I gotta de-stress. Like, well, okay. He understands it's stressful. He understands that. He said we're going to have infirmities. Daily. Renew your mind daily. Some of those problems are going to last a long time. Maybe they won't go away until you pass off the scene. But is His grace sufficient? Of course it is. So, the idea of understanding our resources we talk about so much. Godness, there is profit in it nowadays. This is an interesting verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This idea of present deliverance from this present evil world. This is a very interesting verse, the phraseology here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an interesting way to put that. Blameless. How could my body be blameless? Seems weird, doesn't it? There's sin in my flesh. How's that going to work? Well, think about 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. He's thinking about the issues he had, all the problems he had physically. Pastor John's having a lot of trouble physically. He's having to learn how to deal with that on an ongoing basis. We all do from time to time. When you're young and strong, you don't notice. You don't know what I'm talking about. Sorry. Sooner or later. But how do you deal with those problems when you know you're saved? You know if you died in an instant, you'd be with the Lord. Forever. But when you're going through the nasty now, as we say, how does that work? When you realize that this body that I have, that sin dwells in, but you know what? That spiritual circumcision separates me from that problem forever. And the Lord Jesus Christ lives in me by means of the Holy Spirit. And that I am a vessel. We have this treasure. Everybody wants treasure, right? My wife was playing the lottery. I said, why'd you waste $6 on the lottery? I said, hey, if I win, I can buy the church a new building. I said, I like that thingy. It didn't win, though. So I'm back to square one. But when you have this treasure in earthen vessels, that means our bodies. We are members one of another. We are the manifestation of the body of Christ locally and they're all around the world, then we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of who? God, and not of who? Of us. That's where the power comes from. The power in the Word of God. When you take that in, you digest it. That's why it's a daily thing. The noble Bereans, that's why we call ourselves Berean ministry, they study the Word of God daily to see whether these things were so. And that's what we encourage you to do. Take what we say up here, make sure you check it out, make sure it makes sense, and hopefully it will minister to you as you go throughout the week so that you'll realize, you know, in this present evil world, the deliverance can come from realizing who I am as a member of the body of Christ. And I let that sink in and think, you know what, this is a huge, amazing plan. Whatever goes wrong for me, I better be thinking clear about what I'm doing. But if something goes wrong that I have no control over, you know what, glory to God. He is going to sustain me by His grace through that problem, whatever it is. And try to fix it. If He can't, well. Don't let it throw you off track, understanding what's going on in the dispensation of the grace of God. Take a look at... You know, we have these individual problems. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. We have problems individually. We have issues with health, finances. Stress feels like it can be too much at times. We all know what that feels like. But then you run into problems from other people. 2 Timothy 3, 1. I used to get kind of nervous when I read this verse. I thought, why am I getting nervous? I'm thinking about it the wrong way if I'm getting nervous about this. Just get it and just understand it. Under grace, if he said to Paul when he had these physical problems, whatever his problem was, his thorn in the flesh, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, then it's probably sufficient in this situation too. And he says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And here's the problem. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. Long list there. Look at number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort of they which creep in houses, etc. A lot of evil stuff going on there. He even names some people. He says, just like Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, remove yourself from those people. So not only the problems you create personally, we try not to, when we're under grace, try not to do things the wrong way, just thinking clearly. But there's other people that come in the picture and cause problems too. Remember your own family sometimes. Like, man, I thought we were on the same page. And sometimes it just doesn't feel that way. People outside your household want to sue you. Drivers on the freeway trying to cut you off. All kinds of things that happen. But how can you be delivered from this present evil world? Just think about it. If your problems, again, work for you, of far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, then I can look at my problems differently than I normally would. Instead of being cast down, I'm built up in the faith. So getting upset, I can stay calm. Being impatient, I'm going to be impatient and long-suffering with joyfulness. All those things get flipped on their head. And that's when even if nobody else notices, God will notice. And say, you know what? Great job. My Son lives in you. He's the one. Christ lives in you. Let Him be the one that's your strength, your resource, the thing that gets you through. And that'll bring glory to the plan that I put in place, which is to make Him the center of all things. It is, after all, a walk of faith, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so many of the problems we have, you can see them. Some you can't see, emotional problems, but we have been given the Spirit, not the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That helps your mind stay calm and focused on the gospel, the grace of God. And the things you see, the things which you see, are they eternal or temporary? Temporary. The things we see, temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. God's grace is something you cannot see unless you read it on the page. You see it through faith in what it says in the Word, that the grace of God gives us the strength to get through. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 17. Walk by faith, not by sight, says in 2 Corinthians 5, Ephesians 3, 17. Ephesians 3, verse 17. midst of an amazing chapter there. He starts off with talking about the dispensation of the grace of God and how this affects your heart and your walk of faith. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He goes on to say, being rooted and grounded in love, which you may understand based on that. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. We used to quote this when we have Bible study of the curses. Yeah, most of us could probably quote that. 2 Corinthians 1, 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. And not just any faith, but faith in the Word of God rightly divided. Understanding there's a progressive revelation, like we talked about last time. And in Paul's later stages of his career, he realized that all of these problems I have are working for me, not against me. That Christ, the grace of God, Christ in me, the Holy Spirit living in me, God working His plan out through me, is part of a plan that shows that even those things can bring glory to Him. That the faith I have in God's Word will allow Christ to dwell in my heart by faith. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1, verse 27. Talking about the mystery again. Paul mentions this at least, I think, four or five times, the idea of the mystery. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of this glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Think about Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. This being delivered from this present evil world, when I recognize what my, we have that on our front up here, you complete in Christ, all that that means, I hope that phrase never becomes stale to us here, complete in Christ. When you start to analyze it piece by piece, you realize the plan that God placed you into when you became a member of the body of Christ, you're kind of overwhelmed by it. It's like, whew, the list is, and it's all for you, not against you, like it says in Romans 8. It's amazing. Philippians 1:12. That's not the verse I wanted. Filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. I'm not sure where that phrase is. I got the wrong reference. But the idea of being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Verse 11. Back up one. Thank you. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by whom? Jesus Christ. Under the glory and praise of God. When you recognize who it is that gives you the strength to live the Christian life, it's not your strength at all. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's Christ living in me. It's an amazing concept. Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on that cross 1,000 years ago, lives in you. He's alive, but He lives in you. You're a member of His body. That makes us members one of another. And so think about the problems we face sometimes from individuals from the outside. Problems we face in our own assembly. How are we ever going to get out of this building? We talk about that. Man! Property prices around here are outrageous. Try to think about the future. How are we going to make sure the kids have a program that is spiritually nourishing and socially nourishing to them as well? It's tough. You know, young people come. You want to try to, you see people in larger churches, they have lots of social stuff. We don't have that. It's a part of, I think, what suffering can be about. We don't want to be that way. We look for solutions as elders. There are no easy answers, are there? Especially living in an expensive community like we live in. But that's why we come early to set up part of the suffering that Ken and Dan always go through, having to set up those tables every day, come through. We appreciate that. Not complaining, just saying, hey, we need some help. That's why we encourage people to support the ministry financially. All the things that we do to keep things running smoothly on Sunday, some of them you can't do without writing a check. That's the way it goes. But you know, when you write you support a ministry financially, it is a sweet smelling savor to God. Do you know that? That's amazing. When you think about it on that level, I get excited when I think about it. It's like, man, I can support. Yes. And it's just a little something to help out. God loves that. So He loves a cheerful giver. We appreciate the cheerful heart that people have in the midst of all the problems you have financially, personally. You come and you help out every Sunday. You help out with finances. We so appreciate that. helps keep this ministry going, which our goal is to make sure that the Word of God gets transmitted to somebody else who will transmit to somebody else. As we said last time, if you're teaching them that Christ lives in you by faith, through faith alone, the blood of Christ alone, and all that means being complete in Christ, then you know what? When you pass that on, it will get passed on to the next generation because it's going to be the Word of God rightly divided where you are in the Bible, what it means to live under grace, how that delivers you from that present world, past, present, and future, and then it'll take care of itself. God says, you know what? You're a laborer with me, with God. You're an heir of me. You're a joint heir with Christ. Pass that on, and you know, when you're gone, you don't have to worry about that. The next people, the next youngsters and young people will get that idea too of what's going on. They'll see the gospel of grace working in you. They'll see how you respond to problems. They'll respond to that in a positive way. So you know what? My parents can act that way, people I work around, they see that when gospel of grace works in your life, they'll be interested by that. Unless they're against it. There's a lot of them out there. But you know what? You don't have to worry about that. Just do the best you can to understand the gospel, the grace of God, how it works to live you from past, present, and on to the future. Think about the future we have together. Take a look at Thessalonians. Let's go to sort of wrap this up. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's just times when Paul will say things so succinctly and so briefly, and it's like, wow, that's just so fun to read it that way and hear it all just kind of captured in one phrase. 1 Thessalonians 1, and let's go to Colossians 1. So 1 Thessalonians 1 and Colossians 1. He was so encouraged by the Thessalonians and how they responded to the Word of God. He says, you took it as in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you to believe. He was really encouraged by that. And one of the things that encouraged him was 1 Thessalonians 1:10. He commended them and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So you're delivered from this present evil world, delivered from that wrath to come too. So you're delivered from past phase for your sins, individually, personally. You're delivered from present problems you have because they work for you, not against you. You're delivered from the wrath to come. You're delivered past, present, and future. You're complete in Christ. How could you have anything less than complete deliverance? Doesn't mean your problems will go away. We understand that. But when you've been delivered from the wrath to come, in Colossians 1:13, take a look at that as we get close to the end here. Colossians 1:13. I think we mentioned this earlier. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And the next verse, redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Your deliverance, as it said in Galatians 1:4 there, from this present evil world is a complete deliverance program. Your problems will not go away, but that doesn't stop you from being able to bring glory to God as He delivers you in a far different way than it happened back in the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm so grateful that you don't get sucked in by that. Because you have the spiritual maturity to understand the problems you face, whether it's at work, or school, in your family, wherever. Just trying to get home. And you have some problems. How you react to those can bring glory to God. Amen. It can be Christ living in you, not you. It can be understanding I'm complete in Christ from now and for eternity. I want to pass it on to the next generation so they can pass it on to the next generation. Pass it on to teach others who can teach others. You want to see that passed on. And the way you do that is just do your part. Recognizing your weakness and the strength where it comes from. Your resource, who that is. So, as you go through the week and you run into problems you have, just think about the context of what the plan you're in. Salvation package, as we call it sometimes. It's got lots of bells and whistles. Just enjoy them. You know, enjoy your completeness in Christ. Start to feel that stress. Just realize, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for me. Whatever it takes, I'm going to focus on God's grace. Christ lives in me, not me. And then if you're like me in 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're dog sitting for my in-laws. 2 o'clock. Honey, all right. Let the dog out. Go to the bathroom. 12-year-old dog can hardly see. I mean, I got to teach tomorrow. You know what? God's grace was sufficient. We got through. The battery didn't die. We hopefully it brings some glory to God. So, no matter what you're going through, large or small, let it put a smile on your face. And you realize that if He says the same power that He raised Christ from the dead with, it's the same power that's going to help you be patient and long-suffering with joyfulness, I think we can use that to our advantage this week, don't you?
Amen.
So, going forward, hope you had a great week. Hope it's one that brings glory to God, not to ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. May He be the one who is constantly on your mind, constantly thinking about what does it mean to be complete in Him? How does that look in my circumstances, which are not the point, but those circumstances will bring glory to God. Then we'll have a great week. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Hopefully John will feel better. If not, hey, we'll take it away, right? So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll wrap it up. Anyway, Father, thanks for this time we've had together. Sure enjoy the attention. The saints always pay attention so eagerly to what we say. We sure appreciate that here. This ministry is so special to each one of us. Because it's your ministry. We just happen to be part of it. And we're so appreciative of John, his leadership, his commitment over the years to the gospel, the grace of God. It's never wavered. We so appreciate that. And so want to see it keep going so that when the older folks are gone, that it will still be a vibrant ministry and possibly grow. But not at the expense of just saying whatever. We want to say the truth. It's the truth, like the Thessalonians found the Word of God to be the truth, and they really grew as a result. May we continue to grow individually, and our families be strong, help this ministry to deliver the message faithfully to the next generation, and we'll be sure to give you praise and glory for it through our Savior's name, Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.